Big news! This episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. From choosing the right travel card to dodging hidden fees, Smart Travel helps your money go further, literally. They cover all things travel finance, like which flight deals are actually deals and which are clickbait. They'll also tell you when to skip the bundle and book separately. Plus, how to avoid paying for upgrades that you won't use. Travel smarter and spend less with help from NerdWallet. Follow Smart Travel wherever you get your podcasts.
This is a Voyascape podcast. You can find all of our travel podcasts from around the world at voyascape.com.
Welcome to the Fromer Travel Show. I'm your host, Pauline Fromer, and today we are going to be discussing one of the most idyllic destinations for summer in the United States. I'm talking, of course, about Northern Michigan, specifically the area that I think about as being centered on Traverse City. We're going to start with some of the communities outside of Traverse City, two of them, and then we will go back to Traverse City and then talk about some exciting news with the airport of Traverse City. I won't give it away, but that's coming up. Okay, here we go. Just up the shoreline from Traverse City is Charlevoix. And to help us discuss that, we have Amanda Wilkin. She is Executive Director of Visit Charlevoix. Hey, Amanda, thank you so much for appearing on the Fromer Travel Show.
Hi, Pauline. I'm so happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Well, sure. So for folks who have never been to this slice of heaven in the middle of America, what is there to see and do in Charlevoix?
So Charlevoix is really known for its water. We are set along three lakes, and it's really nice in northern Michigan because you're just a quick drive away from other small communities like Traverse City and Gaylord, but Charlevoix is kind of in the middle of everything, which is fantastic, but it's all about water. So we're beaches, we're boating, we're water sports, anything you can think of to do with water is a Charlevoix thing to do.
Right. And you're right near Torch Lake, which is, I've always wanted to go in the summer because I've heard on the weekends, it becomes this crazy party where people literally just park their boats in the middle of that lake and hop from boat to boat. Everybody's drinking, everybody's playing music.
I've spent many of my youth weekends in on Torch Lake. It is a fun time. And Charlevoix is about 20 minutes from Torch. Torch Lake is absolutely beautiful. Caribbean blue waters, really beautiful. But I don't want to discount Lake Charlevoix, which I personally believe is just as beautiful, if not more beautiful. And I think that because Lake Charlevoix actually has like three communities set right on the lake. And Lake Charlevoix is also connected to Lake Michigan. So from Lake Charlevoix, you can travel the world, which many, many people have, these beautiful homes and they travel the world right from their backyard, which is so cool.
And you also have pretty notable historic architecture in Charlevoix, right? Will you tell us a little bit about that?
Of course, yes. So the Earl Young Mushroom Houses, they are very unique and only in Charlevoix. There's about 27 structures. We call them structures because some of our businesses, some of them are homes that he built, like 1920-ish through the 1950s. And they're called mushroom houses, which is such a weird thing to say, but they're called that because they look like they grew up out of the ground like a mushroom. So they are very organic looking and they're all, they used all natural local stone, which is very fun. And just hearing about how he actually quit architecture school and he got his real estate license and he kind of like envisioned everything in his head and told his contractors what to do. And then they just built it off of what he told them to do.
Wow.
So it's no plans, no nothing. So it's really, really cool to see how it was, how all these homes were formed. And then, yeah, they have stood for, you know, over 60 years now, which is really, really interesting and really cool. And people come from all around the world to see these homes, because they are just fascinating. And each one looks a little bit different. And you can stay in some of them. And you can stay in a few of the hotel properties were built by Earl Young as well. So I highly recommend it. And then we have Castle Farms, which is one of my favorite places to go. It's just amazingly beautiful. They have beautiful gardens throughout the April to late October season. So it's a really long season here. And it was built in 1918 as a model dairy farm by Sears and Roebuck. So it was like they had cows, horses, all of that type of thing, and tractors, and they just showed off farm equipment. And then it went through quite a few iterations over the years, and it was an artist haven. Then it turned into a rock concert venue. So many famous artists throughout the, you know, 80s and 90s that you've heard of played at Castle Farms. And now it is known as a historic tour venue as well as event venue. So lots of weddings. And they are actually this year, they are starting to get back into concerts, which is very exciting for us.
Oh, wow. Now, yeah. This is different than your lavender farm, right? You have a little slice of Provence there.
Oh, yes.
And a major lavender farm, which must make the area smell delightful.
Yes. So we have the largest lavender farm in Michigan up in the Charlevoix-Boyne City area. And our lavender farm is so beautiful. It is so beautiful. And they also host weddings there.
And when is it in full bloom?
Mid-July. Yep. So there's actually a lot of different varieties of lavender, which I never knew until I visited this farm. They do tours and they teach you about lavender. But there's so many different varieties that flower at different times. So really, you can come anytime late June to late July and something would be in bloom.
Wow. And of course, they probably sell lavender sachets and all kinds of other products. And you're also a winery region, right?
Oh, yes. Yes.
What kind of wines?
The wines in, so it's a little different than the Traverse City wine area. This is the Little Traverse wine region, and they're cold hardy grapes. So the Marquettes are fabulous here. You know, more similar to France wine, I would say, in this area. It's just really getting started, which is very exciting. And some of them have been around for, you know, 25 years or so, but a lot of wineries are popping up in our area. Wineries, cideries, you know, obviously breweries are big in Michigan, but the wineries and distilleries are just getting started in the Charlevoix-Petoskey area, which is really exciting and fantastic. I would highly recommend. They're a little less known than the Traverse City region. So a little less frequented and very worth going to.
So that's what's happening now. Let's talk about what happened 40,000 years ago, because your region is very, very big for fossils, right?
Yes. So let's even go back further and talk about 350 million years ago. Yeah. So the Charlevoix region is known for the Charlevoix stones and Petoskey stones. We call them cousins, and we're communities located about 15 minutes from each other. But the Petoskey stone is Michigan State stone, and it's very well known. Lots of people have come from around the world to look for this stone. You can find it many places in Michigan, but here is the easiest place to find them, I would say. So back when, from a long time ago, when the continents broke apart, the Great Lakes were formed, and the Great Lakes used to be salt water. Now they are fresh water when all of the continents broke apart. And those fossils were formed, and they are really unique looking, and you can really only find them along the water's edge, where the water meets the rocks on the shoreline. It's the easiest place to find them. So it's very cool.
And what kind of critters were embedded in them? I mean, what do you see? What do they look like?
So it looks like a coral reef. When you look in an aquarium and you see coral, it's like that star pattern around, or hexagonal pattern, and the little star on the inside. And that is what it looks like, but it is formed into a stone, which is really very unique. And only in Michigan do you find that.
Very, very cool. Well, the one thing we should talk about before we go is all of the U-Pick opportunities, which make it such a great family destination. And it's not just apples, right? There's all kinds of different things you can go and into the farms and pick yourself, right?
Yes. So there are many orchards, U-Pick farms as well. We talked about lavender, but also apple orchards are huge in the Charlevoix region. Cherries a little bit south of Charlevoix. So coming up from Traverse City and coming north, you'll go from the cherry farms and then slowly you'll get into the apple farms. So you can pick pretty much any time of year, you can pick something. So we start in the spring with like asparagus, and you can also forage in the forest for morel mushrooms, which
Wow.
Yes. Yes. We actually have the National Morel Mushroom Festival every May here in Boyne City, which is a delight to go to. If you like morel mushrooms, I highly recommend coming for that. But yes, we get into apple season midsummer, and that goes through October, which we end the growing season with another delightful event called Apple Festival in Charlevoix. So we celebrate, 30 varieties of apples here in Charlevoix, which is very fun. And yes, very family friendly place to be.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I've been. It's a delight. Well, thank you so much, Amanda, for appearing on the Fromer Travel Show.
Thanks for having me.
We're now moving inland and east to Gaylord. And when you say the word Gaylord, golfers' eyes light up. This is a mecca for golf. To help me discuss this, we have Paul Beechnaw. He is the executive director of the Gaylord Area Tourism Bureau. Hey, Paul. Thank you so much for appearing on the Fromer Travel Show.
Oh, you bet. Thanks so much for having me. I'm looking forward to telling you all the great things going on in northern Michigan and specifically the Gaylord area.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so golf. Why is that such a big deal in Gaylord?
Well, I'll tell you, Gaylord is a rolling woods and water paradise. We have very gently rolling terrain. We have the highest elevation in the state of Michigan. And so the viewscapes, the terrain that designers have had to work with over the years, it's heavily wooded. There's a lot of water, both lakes and rivers. And we're notorious for having really sandy soil, which for building golf courses is something that's very important and makes really a great golf. So you take all those things together, and Gaylord's located within 6 hours, 6 to 8 hours of some of the largest golf markets in North America. You've got really a great recipe for a successful golf destination. Sure. And some of the top designers literally in the world have designed golf courses here just because it's so pleasant in the summer. You've got this great terrain. And we're just a real easygoing, casual vibe.
Well, these designers? Like who?
Yeah.
Robert
Trent Jones Sr. Golf course design was at a place called Treetops Resort, which has four golf courses. Tom Fazio, one of the foremost designers in the world. The only golf course in Michigan is here in Gaylord. You have the likes of Reese Jones, who's known as the U.S. Open Doctor, built a course called Black Lake up near Onaway, which is one of our members. You know, we just have this really great, easygoing vibe, great golf courses, and that's one of the things we're renowned for.
Well, and also, you can go to Gaylord and not just golf, because you have some of the best fly fishing as well in the world.
Well, we do have in our region five major river systems. And then to our immediate south, you were on the Ausable River, which is the basically where the Trout Unlimited was founded. So we have these river systems because of our the elevation I talked about. We have these river systems that flow away from Otsego County. And when I mentioned the sandy soil, the water is able to perk right through and create these beautiful blue ribbon streams. We have a river called the Black River and the Pigeon River are two of our most famous. Ernest Hemingway, as a young man, spent a lot of time on the Black River in an area called the Pigeon River Forest, which he called the Big Wild. And he was enamored with this area because of the terrain and the amazing fly fishing. I think when you were here a few years ago, we put you on a flat boat and you floated down the Osabo River with a guide. The flat boats are needed here because the rivers tend to be a little shallower, but amazing fly fishing. And
now, just tell our listeners, what is Trout Unlimited?
Trout Unlimited is a national organization that is really involved with the preservation, the enhancement of trout, of brown trout and rainbow trout, and improving habitat and being very systematic about continuing to care for that species of fish because it's such a sought after fish for fishermen. They're a beautiful fish. They're a good eating fish and they're just very, very sought after. So Trout Unlimited is kind of like the creme de la creme of organizations that's really caring for the habitat and good fishing practices so that we can continue that species for many, many right. centuries to come.
So catch and release most yes. of the time. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
So you can go on the waters to fish. And you also have, and this is, I thought, really unusual, you also have a trail that one can do for several days. And you could get in a kayak or some other kind of self-propelled watercraft and go from area to area, staying in a different hotel each night, right?
Yeah. So kind of north of us, Pauline, it's called the Inland Waterway, and it goes from approximately a little community called Central Lake up through a community called Indian River, from Indian River over to Burt Lake and Black Lake, and eventually you can wind your way right to the Straits of Mackinac and get out to Lake Michigan / Lake Huron where they meet. It's really a fascinating system. You can do it for multiple days. You can do it in bits and pieces. And it's just really a magnificent experience.
Yeah.
We also have a trail, a bicycle trail that goes from just south of Gaylord, a little community called Waters. It's about 11 miles south of Gaylord. It goes through Gaylord. You can take that bike trail all the way to Mackinac City and go see the Mackinac Bridge via bicycle. It's a compact crushed limestone surfaces. There's a little communities along the way where you can stop their campground. So you can do a bike camping trip if you would like, or you can do day trips where you ride from, say, Gaylord to Wolverine is 17 miles and have lunch. And it's just a magnificent trail. It crosses the Sturgeon River 5 times. The Sturgeon River is one of the most beautiful rivers in Michigan. It's the fastest flowing river. And it's just a beautiful way to see the countryside of northern Michigan. It's called the North Central State Trail.
And how long is the whole length of it?
The trail is 72 miles.
Wow.
You're
protected from traffic. You're not like on the same roads, right?
No, you're absolutely protected from traffic. It's a snowmobile trail in the winter. We're a big winter destination, but in the summer, spring, summer, it's a bicycle trail. It's completely non-motorized. There's no ORVs. There's no side. It is for bicycles. You can also take a level 1 e-bike. on that trail, but it's absolutely magnificent. I've done 62 miles of it. Wow. It was a long day, but it was absolutely stunning and it was absolutely beautiful.
Now, do you pass any of the famous breweries from the area?
You don't pass them. You either start there or you finish there, but
probably probably safer to finish there than to start there.
That's a great idea. We have two really outstanding breweries. One is called Snowbelt Brewery, which is named because Gaylord is in the middle of this snowbelt. We're famous for lake effect snow. In 2024-25, we set a record. We had 204.6 inches of snow.
Wow.
So they've named this brewery Snowbelt Brewery because we're in the middle of what is commonly in the state of Michigan known as the snow belt. And then
where you can ski in winter.
You absolutely can ski. And then there's another wonderful brewery called Big Buck Brewery because we're renowned for wildlife and turkeys and deer. And we're also known for having the largest free-ranging elk herd east of the Mississippi River.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that. Wow.
Most people, even people in Michigan, Pauline, don't know that elk are native to Michigan. They were depleted in the late 1800s. They were reintroduced in 1917 from a herd in Colorado. They were brought back to northern Michigan in a place that manages, they roam freely in a place called the Pigeon River Country State Forest. And it's this magnificent 120,000-acre state forest, and it's just absolutely perfect for maintaining the herd. They estimate between 1,200 and 1,500 free-ranging elk, and they're just a magnificent animal.
I was in Colorado many years ago for the elk mating season. You saw the bucks fighting, and you heard them calling to the female deer or elk. I guess. Yeah. And it was an incredible nature spectacle, I gotta say. Does that happen in Michigan in late, I guess it was late summer?
Yeah. So for us, it starts usually in September. The males called the bulls are fully have their horns, and they do what's called, it's not a call, it's called bugling.
Yes,
and it's this eerie screeching. You can literally hear them. If you Google or look up elk bugling, you can listen. You can literally hear that if you're out hiking. In our city of Gaylord maintains an elk herd in a 80-acre fenced-in area, which is adjacent to a park called Aspen Park. You can see the elk and you can hear them bugling.
Wow.
And please don't ask me to emulate that. I've been asked to emulate the sound, and I'm not very good at it. But it's really a magnificent spectacle in nature, and you can absolutely see it.
Yeah, how cool. I had no idea. Well, that's great. Well, thank you so, so much for appearing on the Fromer Travel Show. Really appreciate it.
Oh, it's so great. Thanks for being such a great friend in Northern Michigan and letting us tell our stories.
Absolutely. Joining me is Trevor Takash, who is the tourism CEO of Traverse City. Well, welcome back to the Fromer Travel Show. You know, let's start with some of the basics. Why would people want to come to the Traverse City area? Let's start with nature. What are the nature highlights of your beautiful region?
Well, we're very lucky. We're nestled along the shoreline of Lake Michigan. And we're right on the 45th parallel. So it's a very unique environment. This space has been carved out by, glaciers 10,000 or more years ago. So it's just beautiful rolling hills. It's the panoramic vistas are phenomenal. And of course, we've done a great job of conservancy. And so you can hit the trails, you can get on the waterways, and there's a lot of ways to explore the great outdoors in our area along the freshwater coast of the United States.
You also have a pretty great national park there. You have the dunes, right?
That's right. The Sleeping Bear Dunes National Lakeshore. It's a bucket list destination for many, and for good reason. There's 36 miles of contiguous lakeshore, completely pristine, beautiful beaches, perfect for hiking, rock hunting, just laying by the water. Plus, there's two islands nestled out just off the dune, the North and South Manitou Islands. So there's, wonderful dunes on the shoreline, and then you can go out for an adventure into Lake Michigan and see some beautiful islands that are very quiet, a rustic kind of getaway sort of spaces.
Well, we'll get back to Manitou Island because I want to discuss that. But the people think of sand dunes and they think of something you can kind of trudge up and then maybe slide down. These are not just sand dunes. These are massive hills. In fact, a lot of people get stuck at the bottom, right?
Yeah, you have to be careful. So there's a couple of dunes out there that are, over 300 feet high, and they're extremely steep right down to the lakeshore. So there's actually signs posted in parts of the dunes that discourage people from getting too aggressive, because if you get to the bottom and you can't get up, then the Coast Guard has to come save you, and that's not a cheap taxi ride, if you will. So, but there are some more accessible dune climbs, easier opportunities to give you some beautiful views of Glen Lake and across the region. It's a phenomenal space. It's funny, I grew up here. I've been a resident for many years, and it's still awe-inspiring. Every time I go out there with the kids, it's just like seeing it for the first time, because it's one of those just unbelievable experiences that you can't find anywhere else.
Yeah. Now, Manitou Lake or Manitou Island, I've never been. So what do you see and do there besides dunes?
So there's the North and South Manitou. North is a little bit more rustic, but people love it. And South has a wonderful space with the lighthouse and some other, there's shipwrecks around that you can see. But you can go out on the trails, you can hike it, you can camp it. A lot of people boat out back and forth, but there is a ferry service that goes to both islands. I actually took the team from Traverse City Tourism there last year to the South Manitou. And it was a fabulous day of exploration. There's an old farm there. You can get on a historic tour where they actually drive you around, which makes it a little bit easier to see all the sites. We went out to see a shipwreck, and then we got to tour the lighthouse. And we did a little swimming, too. It was a nice day.
Yeah. Sounds beautiful. So you mentioned the 45th parallel. Tell me if I'm right. That's important for viniculture. All of the great wine-growing areas of the world, or many of them, are on the 45th parallel. So why is that?
I don't know all the specifics, but it is truly a good spot for not only because of its proximity between the the equator and the North Pole, but because we are along the lakeshore by the water, that helps provide an environment that's good for grape growing, and then also the terrain, type of soil we have. There's a lot of elements that have gone into making this kind of a perfect spot to grow grapes, and we've been doing it now for quite some time. And we've discovered there's a number of varietals that thrive here. It started off as more of a white wine place. We started with a Riesling, similar to some of the German wine growing regions. And we've really evolved over time. So now we've got more than 50 wineries on Old Mission and Leelanau Peninsula right here by Traverse City. And just an amazing amount of award-winning flavors, not just whites anymore. There's whites and reds and pinks and, Pinot Noirs, you name it. There's a lot of variety happening here and great flavors to enjoy.
And you say award-winning wines. I think I heard the last time I was there that some of your Rieslings beat German Rieslings in taste test competitions tasting competitions.
That's right. We have outperformed some of the, I guess, more recognized wine regions throughout the world. But that's, I give a lot of credit to the winemakers. We do have the perfect environment to grow these grapes, but there's a lot to be said about the talent that we have here and the amount of time and energy they've put into figuring out how to make sure that we're getting the best out of the environment that we have. So We do have some great wines, and we continue to grow and perform well in those competitions.
Yeah, but unlike going to the Napa Valley, where you go for a tasting and it's $30, it's a more affordable way to taste wines, right? What's the average cost now for a wine tasting in the region?
You know what? You make a really good point. I don't even think about that very often because I guess we're just so lucky, but you're paying for the wine. You come in and, you know, you pay for what you get. You're not necessarily paying for to come through the door, so you can sample as many as you'd like, but we're talking a few bucks here and there. And
right.
Of course, you know, you find something you like, you can grab a couple bottles and take them with you. But I think the one thing that really sets this region apart from a wine region standpoint is the proximity to the water, to Lake Michigan, the east and west arm of Grand Traverse Bay. You've got these amazing vistas. A lot of places you go, yeah, you've got views of the wine, of the vineyards, and I can see the campus of the winery. But here, you typically will get views of the water too, which is absolutely phenomenal. And so as the seasons change, you get all these different colors and sunsets and things like that that really add to the magic of the experience. So it's not just about the great wine. You really have a wonderful setting to consume as well.
Yeah, great wine and cherries. You are the cherry capital. So there's the famous Cherry Festival, which happens over July 4th. And next year is going to be your 50th anniversary, right?
100th anniversary.
Oh, 100th. Holy 100th. Cow.
I know. Time flies when you're having fun. But yeah, we've been growing cherries for many years now. And really, the National Cherry Festival is one of those types of events that set our region apart. We knew that agriculture was going to be important to our future. We knew that tourism was going to be important. So this was a marriage of the two. We produce 75% of the nation's tart cherry crop in and around the Traverse City area. And that's the stuff that goes into the cherry pies and cherry concentrates and dried cherries that you have on your salad. And so we love celebrating that and the farmers. We really have a passion for agriculture here. It's a big part of our heritage and still very important to our day-to-day lives in Traverse City.
Yeah, and the Cherry Festival is good old-fashioned fun. There are cherry pit spitting contests, which I thought, how hard can this be? But people practice. I got up there and the guy in front of me, he must have spit maybe 12, 14 feet. When I spit it, it hit my shoes. You know, it's not an easy thing to do well as great music, air shows, lots of fun, tasty treats to explore. And then this year, you're going to be adding another summer festival into the mix, right?
Yes, that's true. Towards the end of August, August 20th through the 24th, we will host the inaugural Traverse City Food and Wine. So it'll be multiple events woven together throughout that time frame towards the end of August, which is a great time because it's kind of right in the heart of harvest season in this region. So we're getting a lot of great flavors right from the farm, and we're going to do a lot of farm-to-table type of experiences. So we're bringing in celebrity chefs from all over the country, all over the world.
Wow.
To converge on Traverse City, where we already have a great deal of culinary talent and the wineries and the agriculture. And so I think it's a perfect nexus of a lot of really amazing flavors and talent. And this is a long time coming. I mean, Traverse City has had a number of food and wine events and activities throughout the year, but this is really intended to be a pinnacle type event that helps to really establish Traverse City as, you know, a contender in the food and wine space. You know, there's a lot of wonderful spots to go to get some great flavors. But I tell you, because we grow our own products here and we have so many great makers here, I think this is going to be one of those ones that, you know, we'll be talking about in 100 years, just like the Cherry Festival.
I do think of eating well when I'm in Traverse City. You have these great food trucks who are parked downtown. You have the Cook's House, which is a wonderful farm-to-table restaurant with a staff that act like they're your grandmothers. They're so sweet and kind, and the food is extraordinary. You also have, and I know this because I guess the Traverse City area is one of my favorites because I somewhat grew up there. I went to Interlaken, which used to be known as the National Music Camp, and now they've kind of expanded to all the arts. But they still bring in top performers from around the world. Last time I was there, I saw Diana Ross in concert. I've seen incredible classical music there. So this is a real arts region, too.
It is, yeah. Interlaken is a hidden gem just outside of Traverse City, and it really has become quite the art institute. I mean, they've got everything, and the campus is extraordinary and gorgeous. But they do live performances, not only big names like a Diana Ross, but then they also have this amazing orchestra and other performances that'll go on throughout the summer. So it is a lot of fun. You can go out there and spend a whole day and just get lost in it with all the energy and entertainment that's flowing around. But that is definitely one of those things that draws people in. That boy, if you didn't know it was there, you could, you know, you might miss it.
It's right. And it really is. I mean, it in my day, to get into the camp, and I think it's still the same today, you had to audition. I mean, these are going to be the kids who are in the orchestras of the future. So you see rising stars when you go there. There's also the most delightful museum in Traverse City. It's of mechanized music. So you go there and you see the player piano that George Gershwin himself programmed, and you see the keys going down and know that at one point he was the one pushing those keys. What's the name of that museum?
The Music House.
Love it. It was so much fun.
It is. It's a really special spot. It's got some of those old circus type of musical instruments, the big calliopes. Is that what they're called? These giant musical instruments. And it's a really cool spot. It's actually right out, right by Grand Traverse Resort and Spa. So there's a lot going out in that neck of the woods with the award-winning golf that's going on right across the street and just some beautiful vistas out there too. But that is a fun little hidden gem as well.
Well, speaking about Grand Traverse Resort and Spa, you have a whole bunch of new hotels opening up, right? And restaurants.
Yeah, a lot of opportunity for folks. I think that's one of the great things about coming to Traverse City, and the vibrancy is really connected to the entrepreneurial spirit of the region. And we see, you know, business owners reinvesting in things. And just as wineries have grown in popularity and we have more opportunities, we have more folks who want to come experience that. And so we've got some new hotel and short-term rental properties that are coming online. So there's a lot of variety. And that's kind of the neat thing about Traverse City. Yes, you can have like that really nice higher end experience, but if you're on a budget, there's some opportunities there for you as well. So that's what I've always loved about this space, even growing up. Like, we have provided an environment for everyone to have a good time. You can come with money and have a wonderful time, or you can come with next to nothing and hit the dunes and the beach and you will not be disappointed.
Right. Yeah. It's really just a beautiful part of the country. Well, thank you so much, Trevor. Really appreciate you appearing on the Fromer Travel Show.
Always a pleasure seeing you. Thank you.
So we've spent much of today talking about the wonderful places you can go in northern Michigan. But how the heck do you get there? Well, a lot of people drive, but for those who are farther from Traverse City and the rest of northern Michigan, it's a good idea to fly in. So to talk through how best to do this, I have Kevin Klein on the line from the Cherry Capital Airport. Hey, Kevin, thank you so much for appearing on the Fromer Travel Show again.
Oh, it's so great to be back. Thank you for having me.
So it's gotten easier in recent months to fly into Traverse City, right?
It has. You know, I think since the last time you visited, we've added like 5 new destinations. So we have 20 nonstop destinations. We have 7 awesome airlines that come in with American, Delta, United, Sun Country, Allegiant, Avelo. And now joining us this week is JetBlue.
Wow, congratulations.
Thank you. From flying nonstop from Boston. So, you know, we serve the East Coast so well, from basically Boston all the way down to Fort Lauderdale and all the major hubs that are out there with just great service. And then we start heading westbound and we go all the way out to Phoenix Mesa. So great cities in between with Denver, Dallas, Minneapolis, Chicago, Atlanta. You name it, we have service to it, and it's on mainline carriers. What people usually think, it's a small destination, quiet, but we're using large aircraft, mainline aircraft that provide all the amenities and products and service that people want as they travel.
Right. But it's not a crazy bustling airport where you're going to be running miles between the gates. It's still a very, very pleasant place to fly in and out of.
Well, our theme is an up north resort. So we want you to be able to enjoy and have that great feeling of all of our cherry wood. We kind of have a Frank Lloyd Wright architecture. But let's put it this way, Pauline.
Well, wait, hold on. It looks like Frank Lloyd Wright. Frank Lloyd Wright did not design it.
That's correct. Frank Lloyd Wright-esque. How about that?
Okay.
But let's put it this way. When you walk in our front door, you can look straight down the hallway and see the end of your gate. We are still that small hometown feel airport.
Right. But with a lot of flights coming in and more probably for the future. So how are you handling all of those flights?
Well, we're going to be adding in the future an additional concourse. Another room to the home. How about that? What we're going to do. We're going to add 4 more gates. That project will kick off in 2026, and that'll be a brand new concourse. So none of the services that we currently provide will be impacted. All the flights will continue to go, but we're going to build right next door 4 more gates and then connect. And so we're going to use a lot of what we call the Sleeping Bear Dunes. You've been able to visit the Sleeping Bear Dunes.
Yes.
And use that theme of the sand and the water and bring in all that earth tones into this area. We're even going to do a special stained glass that's going to resemble the Northern Lights. And by the way, the Northern Lights are impacting us all the time lately. So it's another, put that on your bucket list if you want to see Northern Lights. Traverse City has been a great place to see them.
When you say impacting us, it doesn't affect flights, does it?
No, it doesn't. I say impacting us because usually you have to go out in the late night and everything else. And what it means is we've got dark skies. We don't have a lot of light infiltration, so we can see the Northern Lights, the beautiful purples and greens that just light up everything. It's an amazing experience.
Yeah. Before we leave the airport expansion, though, I know people from other areas of the country may hear that and think, is that going to mean snarled traffic? Is that going to mean walking through construction sites? You said it's next door to the current terminal. So will all of the mess and confusion be next door too?
Yes, it will be. The only change that you'll see at our main concourse area now is our checkpoint will be converted from a checkpoint to an exit lane. And so that will reduce. So there will be a little bit, but that will be done in our off time and our off winter peak. We're talking months of the January, February timeframe. So that will be an easy transition because we're building everything separately. We'll be building that checkpoint separately, so it won't impact anybody until it's ready to be opened. So we're excited about that. That really, when you think about major airports and all that construction and walking through it, we won't have that during our project.
Well, as somebody who has been dealing with JFK and its expansion and the madness that has caused here, I'm really relieved to hear that. But I would have expected that. You guys tend to do things right in Traverse City, I've found.
Thank you.
Yeah, and thank you once again for appearing on the Fromer Travel Show.
Great to be here.
And that's it for today's show. I thank you so much for listening. And to those who are traveling, may I wish you a hearty bon voyage.
Luxury flights and hotels can be had for free. The world of points and miles sounds too good to be true, but it's actually real, but only if you know what you're doing.
On Frequent Miler on the Air, Greg and I, I'm Nick, discuss all the ways to earn points and miles and use them for outsized value.
Join us every Friday for our full episodes and every Tuesday for our quick, single-topic coffee break episodes.
See you there.